Today Shir is Masechta Zvachim, Daf Samach Vav, and we will begin on Daf Samach Hei Yom Beis, four lines from the bottom of Ruach Hamed Rav Yirmiyah. As we have been learning the halachas of a Chatas Ha'oif and a Oilas Ha'oif, how these different types of karbonos were actually offered, we learned in our previous Shir that there's a fundamental machlokes tanon between the Chachomim and Rav Elezer Rav Shimon about the halacha of Yavdil. The Torah, when it speaks about the carbon oilas oif, says that there has to be hevdil, that the head has to be severed from the body of the bird. And as we discussed, there's two shotim and the rishonim how to understand this rule. Some rishonim understand it to mean that the head and the body need to be completely severed. Other Rishonim are of the opinion that what's required is just that by the Oilas Ha'oif, both Simonim have to be cut, by the Chatas Ha'oif, only one Simon is cut. But we learned in the previous year that according to Rav Elezer Rav Shimon, if one severed both Simonim by a Chatas Ha'oif, even though the Torah uses the words regarding the Chatas Ha'oif, Lo Yavdil, one should not sever them, the halacha is that it will be considered still kosher. And the Gemara gave yesterday three explanations on how to understand that opinion of Rav Elezer Rav Shimon, how to understand the machlokes of Rav Elezer Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Amru Kamed Rav Yirmiyah. They told Rav Yirmiyah the various explanations that, as the Gemara said, there were numerous Amoraim that came up with the same explanation of the Machlokes between Rav Elezer Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. Omar, so when Yirmiyah heard what they said, he said, Lo Shmilei, have you not heard? Hod Omar Rav Shimon El Yochim, Mishim Rav Elezer Ben Bedos, Mishim Rav Elezer Ben Shemua. The Oima Hayer Rav Elezer Rav Shimon, Rav Elezer Rav Shimon said, Shemati B'chatas Oif, Shemavdila. The one may separate, one may do hevdol by the Chatas Ha'oif. The question is obvious. The Torah says, lo yavdol, my lo yavdol. How are we to understand the word lo yavdol that the Torah uses regarding the Chatas Ha'oif? That it means, ain't tzarech lehavdol. Not that you should not do hevdol, but one is not obligated to do hevdol. Ask the Gemara. We have now, the Gemara is assuming, an entire new definition of the word loy. Typically, whenever the Torah uses the word loy, it means you may not do something. Now, Al Gemara is saying that the Torah uses the word loy, and what is to be understood means loy that you don't have to do it. Ask the Gemara, Omalei Rav Acha Barei de Ravel Rav Ashi. If that's the way we're now going to understand that when the Torah says loy, it means you don't have to do it, but you may do it. So the Torah speaks about somebody who dug or was responsible for the digging of a bar in the Rosh Hashanah. And the Torah says that if Chas V'Shalom, somebody gets hurt by falling into the bar. And the Torah speaks about Al-Mgatik al-Bar v'chiyiftach ishpar, the Pasuk says, v'chiyichar ishpar v'loy chasena. The Torah says that somebody dug a pit and he didn't cover it. So we're going to say v'loy chasena should also mean dein tzarech l'chasas, that you don't have to cover the bar. Is that a tenable situation? If we're saying that when the Torah uses the word v'loy, it means that it's optional. Answers the Gemara. Hachi hasta. We cannot compare the situation of the pasuk of lo yavdo regarding Chatas Ha'oif to the situation of lo yichasena. Hasa, regarding the parasha of bar, kiv d'ksev bala bar yishalom, as we just learned, the Torah makes the person responsible for covering his, and if he didn't cover his bar, he's going to be responsible for any damage done to an individual. Therefore, alei d'day ram l'chsuyi. It means that obviously the person is responsible to cover the bar. And since the person is responsible to cover the bar, that's why he will be held. Loya chasana means he must cover it. He has no option. Abu Hocha. Let's think about the pasuk regarding chatasayif. Michti. The Torah says the words v'chivoy. You should bring the chatasayif. The Torah set distinguished between a chatasayif and an oilasayif. V'chivoy, by singling it out with a lashon yachid. Chilak akasu, the Torah distinguished bechatas oif l'oilas oif. What does the Torah mean by distinguishing it? To tell us, says the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that by an oilas an oif, there is a responsibility to do hevdel, to sever both simonim, to sever the head from the body, and by the oilas oif, there is no such a responsibility. Lo yavdel. So when the Torah says the words lo yavdu by chatas oif, what does the Torah mean? Lomeli, what does the Torah mean with those words lo yavdu? Shema minot ain't tzarech lahavdil. So as Rashi is explaining, what the Gemara means to say is that by the Torah, by singling out by the oilas oif v'hikrivoy, the Torah means to say that you must sever the head from the rest of the animal, and by the oilas oif, and by the chatas oif, you have a choice. You can or you don't have to sever it from the rest of the animal. So, in understanding this Gemara, the Mefarad Tosus helps us understand this Gemara. Tosus says that we are not to understand that the Gemara means to say that whenever the Torah says loy, whenever the Torah says don't do something, what the Torah means to say is that it's optional. You don't or do have to do it. Because Taisha says, if so, the Torah we know has numerous times where the Torah says loy, that you shouldn't do something, that the Torah says that something is a lav. So we're now going to say that all the lavim of the Torah are actually optional, a very untenable position. Therefore, Taisha explains the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Certainly, when the Torah says loy, that you may not do something, what the Torah means to say is you're not allowed to do it. However, says Tosfos, over here, let's try to understand, says Tosfos, the pasuk regarding chatas oif. The pasuk that we have here regarding chatas oif is that the Torah, if not for the pasuk, we would understand that you have to separate the head from the rest of the body, because that's the way shechita is always done. By the Torah saying lo yavdil, what is the Torah teaching us? That you don't have to, but not that you're not allowed to. Again, to repeat how Tosfos explains. Normally, of course, when the Torah says loy, that you're not allowed to do something, what the Torah means is you may not do it. But in this situation, where if I wouldn't have a pasuk, what would we say the Torah means? We would say that the Torah means that you must separate it, because that's the normal fashion of doing malika. But the Torah adding the words loy yavdil, the Torah is saying that you have the option to separate or not separate. And in fact, the Shoyle Meshiv uses this concept of Tosfos a step further. The Shoyle Meshiv says that it's interesting to note, the Torah when it speaks about Nevela, we're going to be speaking about Nevela in the coming Shiurim, the Torah when it speaks about a Nevela, the Torah says, L'gerish b'sherecha t'tnena, once you give the Nevela to a ger, amacha la'am nochri, or sell it to an akum. Points out the Shoyle Meshiv very interestingly, that we don't find that the Hilchos Gedolos and the other Sforim of the Rishonim that mention all of the mitzvahs asay should include this mitzvah asay of disposing of the nevela by giving it to a ger. And the question is why? Isn't it an explicit pasuk in the Torah that that's what should be done with a nevela? Says the Shoyle Meshiv, again, using the concept that Tosfos just taught us. What did Tosfos say? That if
I would have known a halacha, or I would have made an assumption, then the way to interpret the pasuk changes dramatically. Says the Shalomation, if I wouldn't have a pasuk teaching us how to dispose of novella, what would we think? Says the Shalom Hashif, we would assume that the way to dispose what you should, that you should not give a novella to a ger. Why would we assume that you should not give a novella to a ger? Either we would say that a novella is also bahano, some explain, or we would perhaps say that we shouldn't give a novella to a ger because lo sechanim, we've learned many times, the one may not give a gift to an akum. So the Torah, by telling us give it to the ger, is not telling us that we have an actual obligation to give it to the ger. Rather, what the Torah is teaching us is that we have the option to give it to the ger. And since it means that we have an option to give it to the ger, now we can understand very well why the Mine HaMitzvahs do not mention this as mitzvah to say, because following this concept, it's only optional to give it to the ger, it's not absolutely necessary. Furthermore, ask the Mefarshim, in trying to understand this Gemara, how could we have a Havamina ask the Mefarshim that what the Gemara here means is that one should not have a responsibility to cover his pit? How can one even have such a Havamina ask the Mefarshim that you don't have to cover your pit, you'd be responsible, but you don't have to cover the pit? So I saw a very nice pshat in the Mefarshim. It's actually a concept that we discussed when we learned Masechet Bava Kama. Certainly, the halacha is that if somebody causes damage to somebody else, or he makes a pit, and somebody falls into that pit, he will be held responsible. The question is, how do we understand that? Doesn't mean that if I cause somebody damage, I am held responsible. But there's nothing inherently wrong in causing somebody else damage. Or is it to be understood that besides that there's a financial obligation if somebody causes somebody else damage, besides for the financial damage aspect, there's also an issur to cause damage. And that suggests the Mefarshim is the machlokes of the is the question between the Havamina and the Maskana of the Gemara. The Havamina of the Gemara assumed that there's no isser to cause damage to somebody else. Just if I was the reason that somebody else was damaged, I obviously will be held responsible. But not that I have any isser to do it. Teaches us the Gemara that Lo Yichasenu doesn't just teach us that I'm going to be held responsible if I cause somebody damage, but actually it's much deeper than that. If I cause somebody damage, then I did an isser. One Jew is not allowed to cause another Jew damage, even if he's going to financially pay him back. So we learned in the Mishnah, the mitzvah damaguf. Again, in speaking about the oilus oif, we learned that the head is severed from the body, and we also learned that when the head is severed from the body, they do mitsui, they squeeze out the blood of the head, and they also squeeze out the blood of the body. But we learned, says the Brayse, Tana Rabbana, Oila, Avish mitzvah dam aguf, v'lo mitzvah dam arosh. We learn from here that even if somebody squeezed out the head of the blood of the body of the bird, and he didn't squeeze out the blood of the head of the bird, it's fine. Continues the Braisa. Yochel mitzadam haroish v'lo mitzadam aguf. What would be if it was just the opposite? He only squeezed out the blood of the head and not the blood of the body. It would also be an acceptable way of bringing the carbon. Tamaloyma, who? The pasuk says who? To teach us that no, it's only the body must be done, and if it was omitted, then the avoid is possible. If the head squeezing was left out, it'll be fine. My Talmud, ask the Gemara why. Fine, says the Gemara. We have one pasuk that says oila, that seems to indicate that even if the mitzui was omitted, it'll be fine. We have a pasuk that says to who, that it's absolutely essential. But why are we saying that it's the body that's essential and the head that is not essential? Answers the Gemara, Amar Ravina Mestabra, derived from the Guf Shrihu. since most of the blood and the of the bird is in the body, and as the Rambam explains in the Pirush of Mishnayos, that it's the blood that's in the body, in the liver and in the heart and in the arteries, which is what causes the animal or the person to live. Therefore, that is considered the most crucial part, blood of the life of this bird. And therefore, if we have to do mitzvah, if there's a mitzvah that's going to be required, it's obviously going to be the mitzvah of the body, not the mitzvah of the head. The Mashal Chochma actually says that we have a remez in the pasuk that mitzvah dam haguf is essential, and not mitzvah dam harosh, because the pasuk says regarding the carbon oilus ois, umolak es roishoy v'hikter mizbecha v'nimtzu dam al kir mizbeach. The Torah speaks about the haptarah, the burning of the head, before it ever even mentions the mitzvah of the dam of the head. What is the Torah trying to teach us? The Torah is trying to teach us that the main thing we want to accomplish with the head of the animal is the mitzui, is the haktaro. The mitzui of that dam is not that very essential. Hanuloch kachikachim, hanuloch kachikachim, hanuloch kachikachim. Again, our next parak continues in discussing the halachis of the birds that were brought as a carbon, the chatas oif and the oilos oif. And just to quickly review, as we have been learning in our previous Mishnayos, what is the proper procedure how to bring a chatas oif, and what is the proper procedure how to bring an oilos oif? The proper procedure for a chatas oif is, as we learned, the avoid of the chatas oif is done on the lower half of the mizbeach, and what's done is that the first malika is done, as we just finished learning. The proper way of doing the malika is just cutting. The proper way of doing the malika is severing one siman, and after that one siman is severed, they do hazah, which means that they take the bird and swing it up and down, and the blood should splatter on the walls of the mizbeach. And after the hazah, then there's mitzvah on the wall of the mizbeach. That is the proper procedure for the chatas oif. The oilos oif, the proper procedure is both simonim are severed on the upper half of the mizbeach. There is no hazah, there is only mitzui, where the blood is squeezed out separately, as we just finished learning, separating the mitzui haroish from the mitzui haguf. Of course, the other very significant difference between the chatas oif and the oilos oif, as we have been learning, is that the chatas oif, all of the meat of the chatas oif, is burnt on the mizbeach. It is eaten by the kohanim, none of it is burnt on the mizbeach, and by the oilos oif, it's just the opposite. All of the meat is burnt and none of it is eaten. Says the Mishnah. Chatas ha'oif shaslamata. If the chatas ha'oif was done on the bottom half of the mizbeach, kemasa chatas, with all the procedures of a korban chatas, l'shem chatas, and it was done l'shem korban chatas, k'sheira. So here Tosfos right away asks, of course that this is k'sheira. Isn't this the exact way that the korban chatas should be brought? What is the Mishnah teaching us? So Tosfos teretz that there's really no chiddush in this part of the Mishnah, and that the only reason this is being mentioned in the Mishnah, says Tosfos, is to teach us the various different situations. So this is mentioned, even though it doesn't carry with it any chiddush. However, I did see that there are other Rishonim that do try to explain what is the Chiddush in this case in the Mishnah. Some Rishonim suggest that, as we have been learning, that there is a specific way how the Malika is supposed to be done. And our Mishnah is teaching us that even if the Malika wasn't done 100% perfectly, the carbon will still be a kosher carbon. That's one pshat that I saw. Then I saw from the Sefer Nesivos HaKodesh a very interesting pshat. We learned, the Gemara mentioned this, Machloikas Rav Yossi in the Tanakhama a number of times. The main place where it's mentioned, the Ikka Sugya, is a Mishnah on Daf Nem Vav in our Masechta.
The halacha is, Rabbi Yossi says, that since, as we learned so many times, the halacha is that a carbon has to be brought with shema, you have to have the proper kavana, and having the wrong kavana could only jeopardize the validity of the carbon. So Rabbi Yossi has a very interesting opinion. Rabbi Yossi's opinion is not to have a machshava when you bring a carbon. Because if you have a machshava when you bring the carbon, you can end up having made a mistake and having the wrong machshava. The Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yossi. And the Rabbanan are of the opinion that of course you should have kavana, even if it could jeopardize, because it could create a situation where you have the wrong kavana. Says the Nesiv Sakhaydish. The machloikis between Reb Yossi and the Tanakhama is only by kavanas of a behema, when one is bringing a behema as a carbon. Since when one is bringing behema as a carbon, there are many different types of behemas that are brought as kavanas. So even though, as we just said, by having machshava, you could also end up having the wrong machshava. And when you have the wrong machshava, you may end up disqualifying your carbon. But there's no other option, say the Rabbon. Says Reb Yossi says, no, it's better not to have machshava. Says the Nesiv HaKadosh, that's only by a behema. Because since there are so many different kabbonis or behemas, the Rabbon is seeing no other alternative but to have machshava. But when it comes, says the Nesiv HaKadosh, to a bird, everybody will agree that the best thing is not to have machshava. Because it's obvious that it's a carbon oif, and there are very few kabbonis that are brought from oifis. So there, everybody will concur with Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Says, so now we can understand the Mishnah very well. Chatas oif also lamata, kamasa chatas l'shem chatas. There's something wrong by doing it this way, because you really ought not to do it l'shem chatas. You really ought to just do it l'shma, because we're following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Still, the halach is kshel. Continues the Mishnah. Kamasa chatas l'shem oila. If somebody followed the procedures of the carbon chatas, but he had in mind an oila, so as we learned already in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that a carbon chatas that was brought shaloi l'shma is disqualified, or he did masa oila l'shem chatas. He had in mind a carbon chatas, but he followed the procedures of a carbon oila, or it was kamasa oila l'shem oila. Not only he's bringing carbon chatas oif, but he's following the procedures of a carbon oila, and he has in mind a carbon oila. Here, it's psula. It will be possible. And here too, the Mefarshim asked the obvious question: if in a situation where it was masa chatas l'shem oila or masa oila l'shem chatas, it's possible, then certainly masa oila l'shem oila should be possible. And therefore, why does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? So again, some Mefarshim, very similar to the pshat that we quoted from Tosfos a moment ago, say that there's really no chiddush in this case. The chiddush, the only reason it's mentioned is to remain consistent with the other cases that we're learning in the Mishnah. However, I did see an interesting teretz from the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael suggests that if we would perhaps think that if this person did indeed started off with a chatas oif, but he did so many acts to show that this carbon is a carbon oila, he did masa oila, he did it l'shem oila, maybe that should turn the carbon into a carbon oila, and therefore it'll be a carbon oila, and it'll be a fine carbon oila. Teaches us that no, since you start, teaches us the Mishnah, that since you started off with a carbon chatas, even if you did it with the ma'is oil, with the procedures of a carbon oil, and even if you did it l'shem oil, the carbon will be possible. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, os l'malo k'masa kulon, if he brought the chatas oif above the chuta sikra, the halacha will be possible. And here the Rishonim point out that we learned earlier in our Masechta the opinion on Daf Chavav, the opinion of Shmuel, where Shmuel teaches us that if somebody did the Zrikas Hadam in the wrong place of the Mizbeach, the halacha, said Shmuel, is that the carbon is valid and only the meat may not be eaten. So now the question will Shmuel say the same thing over here? What would be the halacha if somebody brought the Korban Chatos on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, on the upper half, the Chatos, sorry, if he brought on the upper half of the Mizbeach, above the Chutos Sikra instead of the lower half? Will we still apply Shmuel's concept that the Korban is kosher, just it may not be eaten? Or is that rule of Shmuel, say some Rishonim, said only by animals? But here when we're speaking about Oifis, the halacha will be that Shmuel will agree that the carbon is completely invalidated, which seems to be Pashpashat in the Mishnah. But it's interesting to point out that the Brisk Rav and the Chazanish make the following point. They say, even though we're learning now a Machloikis Rishonim, if we ought to apply the concept of Shmuel, when we brought a carbon chatos, ha'oif, on the upper half of the Mizbeah, that at least a kapara is affected, says the Brisk Rav, everybody will agree that if you brought a carbon oila, sa'oif, on the bottom half of the Mizbeah, that the carbon will be completely possible. So explains the Brisk Rav, why, if we apply the concept, if we apply Shmuel's rule by chatos oif, ought we not to apply it by oilus oif? Says the Brisk Rav. The pasuk which discusses the oilus oif says, "Umolakas roishot veikem mizbeicha v'nimtzu doma kira mizbeach." And the Gemara teaches us that the pasuk, by putting together the halacha, we learned this just yesterday, by putting together the halacha on malika and haktara, is to teach us that just like the haktara is done on the top of the Mizbeach, so too the Malika of the Oilus Oif is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. So we see from, and the same thing with the Mitzri. So the Torah is teaching us, says the Brisk Rav, that when the Avoida of the Oilus Oif has to be done Lamala, it's not just that the Torah is teaching us that the proper location for the Oilus Oif is on the upper half of the Mizbeach. The Torah is teaching us something much deeper. The Torah is teaching us that the avodah of mitzui, not done on the upper half of the mizbeach by an oilus oif, is not considered an avodah mitzui. Mitzui of an oilus oif is only considered mitzui when it's done on the upper half of the mizbeach. The Rav explains it's similar to the halacha that we've learned many times that kachin have to be brought betzofin. If it's not betzofin, the entire avoid is disqualified. Says the Brisk Rav, that when Shmuel says his famous concept of shloit k'mekayimidami, that's only where the Torah doesn't designate a specific location for the avoidah. So there, the Torah says that l'chadchili should do the zrika in one place. Says Shmuel, if you did the zrika elsewhere, it'll still be affected. But what the Torah teaches us, like by the carbon oilus oif, that the avoida done elsewhere is entirely not an avoida. And therefore there, Shmuel, of course, will agree that if you did the oilus oif avoida on the bottom half of the Mizbeah, it will be totally invalidated. Now, the Mishnah goes on to speak about the oilus oif. It says, the Mishnah, oilus oif os lamala, kamasa oila, l'shem oila, that if you brought the oilus oif on the upper half of the Mizbeah, following all the procedures of the carbon oila, and the carbon oila, as we just said, the carbon oila is supposed to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach, the halach is that it's kshera. And again, here too, the Rishonim point out that there really is no chiddush here. Although others want to say that, again, it goes back to what we discussed earlier, that the chiddush is that even though the malika wasn't done perfectly, still the halach will be that it will be a kosher carbon, because the halach is that the technical details of the malika don't disqualify the validity of the carbon. However, if he did it kamas oilu l'shem chatos, he brought it as a he followed all the procedures of a carbon oilu, but he had in mind that it should be a carbon chatos. Here it'll be ksheira v'ach lo osu l'balea. The owner won't get credit. And we go back to the halacha that we learned in the first mishnah of our masechta. In the first mishnah of our masechta, we learned that the halacha is that a carbon oila, we learned that the halacha is that a carbon oila, it was brought shloim l'shma, is still a kosher carbon, ela shloim oila lebalin l'shem chayva. And that's exactly what the Mishnah here is teaching,
that if you brought the carbon oila l'shem chatos, it's still considered a valid carbon. The carbon isn't completely disqualified. However, the owner doesn't get the credit. K'masa chatos l'shem oila. But let's say somebody, when he brought the carbon oila l'shem, followed the procedures of carbon chatos, or k'masa chatos l'shem chatos, certainly he followed the procedures of carbon chatos and he had in mind that it should be a carbon chatos. In such a case, since he didn't follow, as we just finished explaining, the proper procedures, the halacha will be that it's psula. Os lamata. Furthermore, if he brought the carbon oilus oif on the bottom half of the mizbeach, certainly the halacha will be that the carbon is psul, because as we've been learning, the oilus oif has to be brought strictly on the upper half of the mizbeach. So the first halacha of the Mishnah discussed where somebody brought a carbon chatas oif using the procedure of the oila, l'shem chatas. So since he didn't follow the proper procedure, we learned that the carbon is possible. Ask the Gemara the Shani B'mai, exactly what was his deviation? Ilema, says the Gemara the Shani B'malika, that he deviated in doing the malika improperly. And as the Rishonim explained, this is where we're going to learn the Gemara. We're not speaking about a deviation in where the malika is done, but rather we're speaking about a deviation in how to do the malika. That, as we explained a number of times, even in today's shir, that the proper way of doing the malika by a chatas ha'oif is only by severing one simon, and here the person severed both simonim. So again, the shani b'mai, what exactly was the deviation? Elam the shani b'malika, that instead of just severing one simon, he severed both simonim, named the Lord Rebbe Lezer Shimon. We'll have to say that our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer Shimon, because we began today's shiur with quoting Rebbe Lezer Shimon's opinion, Dama Shemati Shemavdil Machatasoyf, that according to Rebbe Lezer Shimon, one may sever both simonim of the Chatasoyf. If our Mishnah is saying that by severing both simonim of the Chatasoyf, the carbon is disqualified, our Mishnah is obviously not following the opinion of Rebbe Lezer Shimon. Says the Gemara, V'lav ukim the Lord Rebbe Lezer Shimon. Well, let's look at the last Mishnah that we learned in the previous parak, where the last Mishnah in the previous parak said that if somebody did a Maisa Hevdo by a Chatas Oif, the carbon is possible. So the Gemara's question is, why are we so bothered by saying that our Mishnah will not be following the opinion of Elazar of Shimon, because our Mishnah will be also seemingly teaching us that doing Hevdo by a Chatas Oif is a problem? We already have another Mishnah that we weren't able to reconcile with Rebbe Lezer of Shimon's opinion. Says the Gemara, Loi. Just because, this is what Rishonim explained to Gemara, just because we had to say that the previous Mishnah did not follow the opinion of Rebbe Lezer Shimon, that shouldn't force us to try to say, to try to explain our Mishnah that it could still be consistent with Rebbe Lezer Shimon. And what would we say our Mishnah is referring to? It's referring to a situation, the Shoni Bahazor, that he deviated in the Hazor, which, as we learned, the Hazor of Achatas Oif is supposed to be the first you sprinkle, you wave the bird up and down by the Mizbeach, and then you do the Mitzui. What happened here was that he didn't do the Hazor. He just did Mitzui by the Achatas Oif. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if somebody did that by Achatas Oif, that he did Achatas Oif, Kamasa Oila, that he followed the procedure of an oiler, that he went straight to the Mitzui without doing the Hazor, the loch will be that it's Psula. And says the Gemara, Hoch Nami Misabra. This makes, it says the Gemara, that it makes sense to explain the Mishnah this way. Midatani Sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Oslama wa Kamasa Kulon, if he did the Avoida, if he continued doing the Avoida of the Chatas Oif, Lamala, on the upper half of the Mizbeach Psula, which seems to be that the Kamasa Chatas L'Shem Chatas, the Mishnah is teaching us that he followed the procedure of a Karbon Chatas. He had in mind that it should be a Chatas Oif. The only problem was that he did it on the upper half of the Mizbeach instead of doing it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara the Shadim, exactly what happened over here. Ilein v'shanim b'malika. That what happened was that he did the malika of the chatas ha'oif on the upper half of the mizbeach. L'shem chatas ha'oif. Asked the Gemara, would that disqualify a carbon chatas ha'oif? Ha'amar, have we not learned malika b'kol makoyim the mizbeach kasher? There's actually machlokes rishonim. What is the proper girsa of this Gemara? Our Gemara seems to have the girsa that malika b'kol makoyim the mizbeach kasher. That by any type of burnt carbon, where malika obviously is required, you could do it anywhere on the mizbeach. However, there are rishonim that have a different girsa. That not only is the malika not limited to a specific place on the mizbeach, the malika is not limited to the mizbeach at all. And their girsa of the Mishnah, malika become makoyim ba'azara. Malika in the azara is kosher, not specifically on the mizbeach at all. So that can't be what the Mishnah is referring to. Elah, what does the Mishnah mean in this case that it's disqualifying? It's referring to a situation, the Shani Bahazor, where he made a Shinui in the Hazor. And what do we see? And that's what the Mishnah is saying, that if you did the Hazor, even though if you did the Hazor of this carbon properly, but you just did it in the wrong place, that would disqualify this Chatas Oif. Suggest the Gemara, if we've interpreted this part of the Mishnah that's referring to Hazor, Reishinami, it must be that the previous part of the Mishnah, when it speaks about the Shinui, is talking about a Shinui in the Hazor. And therefore, it's a raya that that's how to understand the Mishnah. So the Gemara, that is not a compelling argument. Midi area, Hakadisa v'Hakadisa. Each part of the Mishnah should be explained separately. Indeed, this part of the Mishnah has to be explained that the deviation was regarding the Hazor. But that doesn't compel us to say that the other part of the early part of the Mishnah is talking about a case where the deviation was in the Hazor. It could well be that the deviation was in the Malika, because our Mishnah represents the opinion of the Chachamim that if you severed both Simonim by the Chatas Oif, the carbon would indeed be possible. The next part of the Mishnah spoke about the Oilus Oif. And the Mishnah said that if we brought the Oilus Oif following the procedure of the Chatas Oif, the carbon would be possible. Again, asked the Gemara, the Shani B'mai, how do we deviate? Ilema, the Shani B'malika. What happened here was, the Gemara is suggesting, that instead of doing the Malika like a oilus oif, which we know the Malika means that you have to cut both simonim, he only cut one simonim. Asked the Gemara, Midatani Seifa. We need to introduce ourselves to our next Mishnah, the Mishnah on the bottom of this Amid. The Mishnah said, Kol ematamim beis abliya u'me'alim behem. The halacha is that if an animal is in the vela, if an animal or a bird were not slaughtered, the halacha is that that animal is that bird is metamim beis abliya. That when the bird is in the throat of the person becomes tameh. Not only is he tameh, everything he's wearing is tameh. It's known as the tumah of nevelas oif tar. But if it was slaughtered properly, then it will not be metama beis abliya. Or, as we're going to learn, even if it wasn't slaughtered properly, but the slaughtering accomplished something, it'll be enough that it should not be metama beis abliya. Furthermore, the halacha is me'alim behem. We know that a carbon that's kadoshim, or the emurim of kachim kalim, are subject to me'ilah. If the carbon chatos becomes eligible for eating, so then it's no longer subject to Mila. It now is the meat of the Kahanim. So the Mishnah says that if a carbon oilus ha'oif Malika was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, that Malika, says the Mishnah, is going to be Matama Beis Abliya. Rabbi Lez's opinion is that that Malika is an invalid Malika. And since the Malika is an invalid Malika, the animal is considered a Nevela. The bird is considered a Nevela, and the Tumas Nevela applies. The Tumas Nevela's Oiftar applies. And furthermore, since it hasn't turned into a carbon chatos, it's still considered a carbon that's Kodesh HaKadoshim. That the halacha is that a carbon that's Kodesh HaKadoshim, the halacha is subject to Me'ilah. That is the opinion of Rebbe Lezer. Neima. Because our Mishnah, it seems, is following that opinion, the like Rabbi Shua. Because Rabbi Shua's opinion is, Homer Eme Alan. Rabbi Shua's opinion, as we're going to learn according to the Maskana of the next sugya, is as follows. Rabbi Shua subscribes to a concept that the Gemara calls Hamshacha, which means that if you start off with a bird, which is an oilus oif, and you go, and as we've been learning, an oilus oif is supposed to be offered on the upper half of the Mizbeach. And if instead of offering it on the upper half of the Mizbeach, you immediately do the Malika of that oilus oif on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, severing one simen, says Reb Yeshua, that carbon will transform, Hamshacha, that carbon will be transformed from an oilus oif to chatas oif, and therefore a mayalim. It will not be subject to milah, because the halacha is that a chatas oif, after it had the proper malika, is not subject to milah. So, ask the Gemara. If we're going to be saying that our Mishnah is referring to a case where he did the malika of the oilus oif on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and the Mishnah is saying that carbon becomes pasul, it means it's representing the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, who says that is indeed a way that a carbon becomes pasul, and not the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And as the Rishonim explained, throughout Shas we know that Rabbi Lezer Shamutihu. Rabbi Lezer was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai. And we don't follow Rabbi Lezer's opinion, we follow Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So the Gemara's question is, to explain our Mishnah that it's following the opinion of Rabbi Lezer versus the opinion of Yeshua, is an untenable situation. Rather, it's referring to a situation where the deviation was not by the Malika, the deviation was by the Mitzui. Since the deviation was by the Mitzui, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees that if you started it, bringing it as an oilus oif, and following the proper procedures of an oilus oif, and then you transform it, and then you start doing the procedures of a chatas oif, it's disqualified. Eim sefer. So let's continue learning the Mishnah. Oilus oif shas lamata. Kamas a chatas l'shem chatas. Rav Lezer amr moy alamboy. Rav Shua amr eim moy alamboy. Rav Lezer says that it's still subject to Mila, because even though you did the Malika of l'shem as a chatas oif, it still remains an oilus oif, and that's why what you did is no good. Rabbi Shua says it transformed into a chatas oif, the shon b'mayim. Now, exactly what is the case? As we explain, ilay ben mitzui. If we say that the deviation was by the mitzui, that can't be, because even Rabbi Shua, that takes the lenient opinion, as we've been explaining, amadav Rabbi Shua. Where does Rabbi Shua take that lenient opinion? Strictly the shoni b'malika, where the shina was by the malika, and as we explained, and we'll explain it more in the coming shiur, that Rabbi Shua's opinion is that if you take this oilus oif, indeed the bird was designated as an oilus oif, but immediately as you take it, you right away start treating it, but if cutting the first simen like a chatas oif, it has the ability of turning that carbon from an oilus oif into a chatas oif. But if you started with a carbon that's oilus oif, and not only did you start with a carbon that's oilus oif, you actually did the avoid of an oilus oif, it won't transform into even according to Rabbi Shua into a chatas oif. So when the Mishnah in the next case says that it does transform into a chatas, it's talking about that the shini was done by the Malika. So we have a very interesting situation, asked the Gemara, El Malika. So we have a situation as follows. We've explained that the first part of the Mishnah, by the chatas, what you made, the shinui, given that we don't follow the opinion of Elazar and Shimon, the shinui was by the Malika. The Sefer, the next Mishnah we just explained, is also speaking about a shini by the Malika. And the middle case was saying, is referring to a situation of Mitzui, the case where you brought, where you took the oilus oif and you did the avoid of the chatos. If we want our Mishnah to be consistent with the opinion of Yeshua, that it should be possible, our Mishnah, not the next Mishnah, we said that the shini has to be by the Mitzui. So we have first the case where the shini was by Malika, then it was a shini by Mitzui, and then it was a shini by Malika. So the Gemara in. That is indeed the way to understand these Mishnayos, that the ratio, the first case of the Mishnah, that the first part of our Mishnah is referring to a shini and a Malika.
The Sefer, the next Mishnah, is talking about a Shein and the Malika, and the Mitziyasa, the middle case, the second part of our Mishnah, is referring to a deviation by the Mitzvah.